This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. The banks on the Cincinnati Riverfront broke ground in the spring of 2008. Phase 1 was completed last year. Construction for Phase 2 is now well underway, and plans are being confirmed for the third phase of the project. Here to give us an update, our project executive for the bank's public parties, Phil Beck, Dan McCarthy, project executive for Carter, the master developer for the banks, and Tom Gableman, member of law firm Frost Brown Todd. He served as a legal counsel on the bank's project since its inception. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Tom, I remember way back when people questioned whether this project would even get going, and there were even snide remarks about how the banks would turn out to be nothing more than a giant mud hole. And I think the other one I kept hearing was, I'll believe it when I see it. Doesn't that seem like another time and another place now?
It really does, Mark. If you look back, in time, and actually they used to call the banks the blanks at a certain point.
I never heard
time.
That one.
Yeah, but it definitely, for a period of time, pretty shortly after the Freedom Center was completed, and you had that major investment that had been done between the two stadiums and the Freedom Center and the Reds Hall of Fame. But then you had this vast area that looked like a cavity on the riverfront where it was basically a mud pit. And for a period of almost 5 years, there was very little, hope in terms of actually trying to get something underway. But actually, both the city and the county were hard at work putting in place both a funding and financing plan in which eventually we were able to break ground in April of 2008. And since that time, what you see on that riverfront right now in terms of a seven-year period, it's rather phenomenal. The amount of construction that's occurred, the amount of development, not just with the banks, but also with the parks kind of going hand in hand. And it really has been a transformation. It has been a transformation that was envisioned in a different way back in 1997 when we first started. But when you look at it right now, we've invested close to $1.6 billion in the riverfront. Mm. And when you look at that kind of investment, it is one of the largest urban redevelopment projects that's currently underway in the country today.
So, as you were saying, it did seem to have a slow start. Was it that funding plan that was what got it going, or was there something else that was a key turning point for the project?
Well, if you look back at that period of time, you think about that, in 2007 and 2008, we were on the cusp of going into the Great Recession. And we were working with a master developer that had been selected out of Atlanta to begin to develop the project. And at that point in time, our original plan was that we were going to have probably 60% condos, 40% apartments coming out of the first phase. Once the economic downturn occurred, we had to switch the plan and make it primarily apartment-driven for that first phase. But in terms of putting the pieces in place, we're coming into the Great Recession. We had applied for both state and federal funding. We were beginning to look at using tax increment financing from the development itself and putting together anywhere from 7 to 8 different funding sources that we literally cobbled together in the spring of 2008 to go forward with the plan and actually have a groundbreaking that occurred and start construction where everybody else in the country was saying, we're pulling back. And we're going to pull back. We're going to wait to see what happens. And yet the city of Cincinnati and Hamilton County said, we're going forward, we're going to reinvest in our city, we're going to reinvest in ourselves. And the fact that we did that during the period of this Great Recession, and now we have come out of it, and now we're on the cutting edge of everything. When we look at office, residential, the parks, the retail spaces, and it all fits well with the rest of the reinvestment that's occurred within Cincinnati with Fountain Square and over the Rhine, it ties that entire urban fabric really together.
So what are the funding sources for the project, Tom?
Well, the primary funding sources you have on the tax increment financing has been used to fund a major portion of the public infrastructure. So when we talk about the garage facilities, the street grid, the utilities, all that stuff that maybe is not that exciting, but it is absolutely essential to be able to enable the private development to go forward. You've got to have those parking garages in place to lift it out of the floodplain. So those funding sources include both tax increment financing, includes a portion of sales tax financing, it includes state grants, it includes federal, what's called congestion mitigation funding and stimulus funding that all came to bear in a combination of ways To make the project occur first in 2008, and then we started the second phase in 2011.
Phil, is the banks a good example of how a public-private partnership should work?
You know, there are so many great stories about this project. The fact that the city and the county are totally integrated and working in lockstep with each other from day one through present and into the foreseeable future. This is a project that both the city and the county are extremely proud of. We are, as Tom said, remaking the entry to our city, and some could argue the gateway to Ohio from the south. It's a terrific success story for both public parties.
Can you compare this to, are there any similar projects elsewhere in the country that you can compare the bank's project to?
There are different public-private partnerships throughout the nation. However, I think, at least from the public side, the bank's project is unique in that it is involving not one public entity in that agreement. It includes both the city as well as the county, and I think that's unique.
Now, Dan, you're the newest member of the bank's project. Well, what's your role in all this?
Well, Carter hired me. I started about 5 or 6 weeks ago, so I am fresh on the job. My role is to handle day-to-day operations for Atlanta-based Carter and Associates, including all development activities.
Okay. What's your perspective on how the banks is going?
Well, it's never been more busy since groundbreaking than it is right now. We obviously are heavy under construction through phase two, as well as future phases coming up and a new hotel. Lots of new activity is being announced, so it's never been more exciting than it is right now.
Now, that new hotel, can you tell me more about that?
Right. The hotel, which was just approved within the last month, is a European-influenced, inspired hotel. It's called Marriott AC, which is a European brand that Marriott is bringing to the U.S., and they've opened three in the United States so far, and over the next year, we'll probably open close to 100. The area for the listeners out there, the area that we're talking about for the hotel will be directly across from Great American Ballpark, directly across from the Hall of Fame, and just north of the Logger House. There's a hotel pad that's been there since basically 2011. It will be about a 7-story structure, 165 rooms. It will have a nice terrace area on the ground level that will tie nicely with the riverfront park. And then up on the top floor of the terrace, it will have a rooftop bar that will have just some fantastic views of both downtown as well as going up and downriver in Cincinnati, as well as northern Kentucky.
Now, how is that going to be funded, Tom? Is there any public subsidy involved for the hotel?
Nope, there's absolutely no public subsidy. And the city and the county are quite proud of that fact that this will be the first hotel that will be built within the last 5 years that has not received any form of public assistance, not an economic development grant and no form of tax abatement. And yet we were able to bring a hotel that is truly first class in nature. It's an upscale lifestyle hotel. And it will really fit well with the rest of that development in terms of the targeted guests.
Dan, you're new to the project, but you're not new to Cincinnati, so you've been able to see this project from the beginning, haven't you?
That's right, I have. Actually, I was born and raised in Cincinnati, growing up going to Riverfront Stadium, seeing this area evolve, and now seeing it grow exponentially is truly unbelievable. And along those lines, I actually previously worked for Eagle Realty Group, which is part of the partnership of the hotel, so I have a firsthand experience of the Class A product that they put out.
Now, Phil, can you tell us about what the economic impact has been like from this project? How many jobs has it created? What are we seeing so far?
Thousands of jobs. As Tom said, you started out, or Mark, as you said, you start out with what people term the mud pit. And you look at, okay, so that property has a certain level of value. Then we interject the public infrastructure. We bring in the utilities, take care of any environmental issues, build the foundation, if you will, for the private development. And now that property has a new value, better than before. And then we insert the private development. Along with that, you have all of the interim jobs for construction, design, et cetera. And now we are constructing things such as the GE office building that are bringing in permanent employees, the retail, et cetera, and the new hotel will have permanent employees. So it is literally thousands of permanent jobs that are being provided by this project, and we're only a little bit over halfway done.
Right, so the impact is ongoing to keep growing as this as the project itself keeps growing.
Right, yes. When we looked at phase one and just when we talk about different phases of this project, and phase one involved the construction of literally two city blocks of development, both residential and retail, as well as the parking garage and the park. So two city blocks occurred over basically a three-year period, which is rather phenomenal. And what you see on the riverfront in phase two is another city block of construction that will be done over a two-year period. Between those two sites, phase one and two, we're going to have more than 4,000 permanent jobs that will be located on the riverfront. And as Phil mentioned, this is only halfway through. So 4,000 jobs, and the jobs from GE alone, which are 1,800 to 2,000, will have an average salary of $80,000 a year. When you factor that into our local economy, in terms of the earnings that are received, and then the spending from now 4,000 permanent employees on the banks, that economic impact on the city and the county is $1 billion a year. $1 billion a year just from the first half of the banks project. And the capital investment by the city and the county, we put in a total, just in terms of the garage facilities to support this development, of around $100 million, okay, which involved also the state and federal funds were also part of that. But when you take that $100 million and you see how that has been leveraged to bring in $1 billion a year, a one-time investment brings in $1 billion a year. It's a phenomenal return that is, frankly, unparalleled right now in this country. There is not another development like this one. And what we constantly look at, and why it is becoming attractive for people to invest in our riverfront today, is because the public party said, we are going to invest, and that investment has to have a return. And that return is both measured in capital dollars as well as the employees that are, you know, then brought to the site. And the returns are there. And so that's why we are about to commence phase three of the project.
We will continue our conversation about the banks, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us for an update on the banks, Project Executive for the Banks Public Parties, Phil Beck, Dan McCarthy, Project Executive for Carter, the Master Developer for the banks, and Tom Gableman, member of law firm Frost Brown Todd, who's legal counsel for the banks project. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Tom, how is it going in terms of the commercial spaces at the banks? Are those pretty much full at this point, or are you still looking for tenants?
Well, in terms of phase one, and phase one consisted of about 300 apartments and close to 100,000 square feet of retail. There is one site that's left, and Dan can talk about that, one site left in terms of the retail portion. The apartments have been at almost 100% occupancy with a long waiting list since they opened.
That well received. Great.
Right. Exactly. And then the hotel is about to start in September of this year. And that will be basically all that's within phase one. The office component, there's also an office component that Dan can talk about that is also going to be part of phase one. It can be up to 350,000 square feet of commercial development. In phase two, and this was all kind of part of the master plan that was developed as far back as 1999, included up to 1 million square feet of office development on the riverfront, and with the GE building, and that will be close to 340,000 square feet, which will be fully occupied by GE. And then the residential portion, which will come online next spring, will be another 300 apartments on the riverfront. So, Dan, if you want to just comment on the balance.
Well, I wanted to touch on the retail leasing specifically. Recently, each year there's a conference in Las Vegas called ICSE, which is where developers go to pitch various retail projects across the nation. It's really a measuring stick for how you're doing and how well-received projects are. And we have a a leasing broker here locally named Mark Fallon with Jeff Anderson Real Estate, and he went out and pitched our project to kind of figure out exactly what the tenant mix should look like. It was remarkably well received, and that's really how you can tell how you're doing as a district. And it's by far, we have established a district here that is animated beyond where it's been in my entire life.
Yeah, I think if you look, if folks could think of, if you're standing at the ballpark and you're standing on Joe Nuxall Way and you're looking to the west to Paul Brown Stadium, the long-term plan is that you take that retail district that exists there today with Holy Grail and Santa Grail and Ruth Chris and so on, that's going to extend all the way down Freedom Way to Paul Brown Stadium. I mean, that is the intent of the overall plan. So you've got that entertainment district, restaurant district that will be extended. And the idea is that you're going to have a neighborhood. You're going to have a neighborhood that has all these diverse uses on the riverfront. It's just not about sports. It's just not about, I mean, it's great that we have the park that we do because it mixes well. And we've got people now coming down to the park that is, frankly haven't been downtown in a long time. And it's just, I mean, we're going to have 1 million-plus visitors a year just for the park alone.
So this is really helping with tourism as well.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got 6 million visitors a year that come to our riverfront. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal.
And Tom, along those lines, you know, another thing that opening up these apartments that are so well received, and GE locating headquarters here for its shared services, what that does is it generates daytime population along with the tourism that you just mentioned. And what that does is it drives the numbers that national retailers look at. They move based upon these numbers. And now we're establishing the numbers. We're establishing the data that they look at. If they're just looking at numbers, and prior to even looking at how great this development is, they're strictly looking at it by the numbers. We're now generating the numbers that they need.
513-419-7100 to join us. And we're going to talk with Fred in Sharonville. Hi, Fred.
Good afternoon. Appreciate the show. A comment and then a question. The comment is that the anticipated benefits in terms of revenue sound quite overstated, because you're assuming that the jobs that are generated, that money is actually spent in the city. And of course, as we know, many employees don't live in the city. They work there, but don't spend the money there. So I would just put a grain of salt on some of those numbers, which typically get overstated for many of these projects. But my question is, and you may have answered this while I was on hold, but is, what is the anticipated time frame for the second and third phases?
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, Fred. So, Tom, he's saying they're overstated. What do you think of that?
No, actually, we've been very conservative.
Oh, being on the conservative side, okay.
And quite candidly, when we were developing the project and applying for funding both at the state and federal level, we were doing projections off of what we thought we might do in terms of this riverfront. And the original development plan involved maybe 1.5 to 2 million square feet of development anticipated. We now know that we can do at least 3 million square feet of development. When we look at we now have real data. It's not data that's based on projections, but the number of employees based on the number of restaurants that have opened on the riverfront, based on the apartments that are fully occupied, and we can look at all of those numbers, and we know that the permanent employees are close to 1,800, and we also know that those that are living in the banks right now in terms of the residents are mid to upper level income individuals that are spending money in the restaurants in Cincinnati and are spending it in Hamilton County. And so we've been able to measure that. But then we also look at projecting what happens with General Electric, and the commitments that were made as part of our agreements that we structured with General Electric involve 1,800 jobs. And we know those 1,800 jobs will have an average salary of $80,000 a year. Not every job's 80,000, but that's the average. And we know that what the ramp up of that is, by summer of 2016, we're going to have 1,500 new employees, not just new to Hamilton County, not just new to Cincinnati, new to both, and new to Ohio, that will be hired and retained here. And we just ought to stand up for a second, because I think one thing that if you're going to fault Cincinnati for anything, maybe perhaps we're a little bit too humble about what's occurring here, because it is phenomenal. This is a renaissance that is occurring that came out of a recession that involves just not the banks. It involves downtown. It involves OTR. And it's going to spread out to the neighborhoods. But right now, we had a situation where General Electric looked across the country to locate its only shared services center in the entire United States, and they selected Cincinnati in the Rust Belt over all those cities in the southeast and on the West Coast, and selected Cincinnati, Ohio, for that investment and on the banks of the riverfront. And but for the investment that was made, frankly, by the city and the county in its downtown and on that riverfront, that would not have occurred. Quite simply, if we didn't make that investment back in 2008, GE would not be here, would not be opening. And if we want to argue at the margins about how many jobs and what the earnings are, I'll take 1,800 jobs at $80,000 a year and $1 billion economic impact and argue at the margins.
And Phil, the other question that Fred had was about the time frame for phases two and phases three. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. When we talk about phases of the banks, maybe take a step back. Phase one, essentially, we're talking about working this project from the east to the west, generally speaking.
So starting at the Red Stadium and then moving toward Paul Brown.
Yes. So phase one roughly is from the Reds ballpark to the Freedom Center in that general location. Phase two is just west of the Freedom Center. It's a phase two actually had multiple smaller elements, but primarily it was a block of development with the new apartment building and GE on top. Phase three is now moving south, so south of Freedom Way, working your way towards Merring Way and the Riverfront Park. Phase two is the public work is complete. The private development work is occurring right now. The apartment building is slated to open spring of 2016.
March of 16. Okay. And GE will be opening September of 16.
Okay, yes. So next year. Yeah.
Very soon. The public construction with phase three is about as fresh as it can be. We're bidding our first package, our foundations. Bids will be due in a couple of weeks. They will be timed so that following the All-Star Game festivities, we'll be able to actually break ground and commence the next block of garage, 690 spaces, two-level garage, with the last block of Ray Street occupying the roof of that garage just to the west. The main packages, the concrete structure and the rest of the trade contracts to complete that garage will be out on the street mid-July with bids due mid-August.
So, Tom, how long is it before we finally say it's official, the banks is finished?
I would like to say maybe a little optimistically that it would be 2020.
Okay.
And I do think, it was always a market-driven project, and the way we had set up the schedule back in 08 that basically every 3 years we would start another phase of the project. But as it's turned out, we think, and it has pretty much occurred every 3 years, it is going to be accelerated, we believe, with the catalyst of the General Electric Shared Services Center.
Phil, Dan, and Tom, thanks for joining us today. Project Executive for the Banks Public Parties, Phil Beck, Dan McCarthy, Project Executive for Carter, the Master Developer for the Banks, and Tom Gableman, member of law firm Frost Brown Todd, who served as legal counsel on the Banks Project since its inception. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Mark Haney.